Odyssey. Odysseus is our wonderful new hero. He is crafty and tricky and is a rhetorician and loves to manipulate people. We will take a look in this lecture at all of the stops that Odysseus and his men make after they sack Troy and before Odysseus lands on Ithaca. Each of these stops is very significant, and the information I've used here is from Richard Martin of Princeton University.
How many of you seen O Brother, Where Art Thou? You know that's the Odyssey, right? That's a takeoff on the Odyssey. How about Cold Mountain? That book by Charles, was it Charles Frazier? Great book, and that was based on the Odyssey as well. So this is a common story that we have in our culture, and I'd like us to take a look at each one of the stops and what was going on from the time Odysseus left Troy until he got to Phaeacia. We're not even going to really discuss the Ithaca section. So help me remember, there are essentially, supposedly, 12 stops, which is interesting, because here we go again, the 12 labors of Heracles, the so-called six labors of Theseus. When Odysseus and his men leave Troy, where do they land? Look at them. Okay, it's in the land of the Sicanese. And what do they do to the city? They sack it. And what does sack mean? They destroy it. They steal, they burn, they rape, they pillage. They do horrible things. And Odysseus is part of that group. So we have these barbaric men coming from what they did at Troy and doing the exact same thing with the Sicanese. In the Odyssey, Homer always puts three episodes, essentially, especially when we're talking about just the trip home, where one episode we won't get that much information. The second episode will be just a tad more developed. And then the third episode will be a well-developed narrative. Okay, so the next step is the land of the lotus eaters. The lotus eaters, what do the men do? What happens in the land of the lotus eaters? They get stoned. Yeah, they get high. They eat the lotus blossom. And the men are stuck in the moment. They can't get out. They have no volition or desire to return home. So Odysseus, like any good culture hero, takes each one of those men and carries him on his back to their ships. So he's the one who acts with all the volition and gets the movement going. He's active. The third episode on the way home is the land of the Cyclops. Now the Cyclops, these are not the Cyclopes, the ones who forged the thunderbolts for Zeus. These are different. The Cyclops are sons of Poseidon. They have one eye, of course. And there's something unique about their land. And I don't know if you noticed this when you were reading, but it's a land that's rich with ultimate possibilities for great civilization. The fields aren't being plowed. Nobody is doing anything to take advantage of the gifts that the gods have given them in this beautiful land. And there's no social organization. These Cyclops are very independent from one another. They each have their own cave. And in fact, when Polyphemus is screaming because his eye's being poked out by Odysseus, one of the Cyclops, what does he say? He comes, are you okay? And what does Polyphemus say? Nobody is killing me. And they say, oh, well, he must be having a bad dream. You know, goes back to his cave. So we have lack of social organization, community. So what happens here? As we all know, we have the Cyclops Polyphemus, and he is off with his sheep, and Odysseus and a band of his men go into the Cyclops cave. Now, Odysseus wants to do this for a reason. He wants the host gift that the Cyclops is supposed to give him as a stranger. So we have the theme of Xenia playing out. And they go into Polyphemus's cave, and they eat quite a bit, and they actually abuse the host. So we can't really say who's violating Xenia here, Odysseus or Polyphemus, but it may not have been unheard of for a stranger to go into an empty host home and help himself, but moderately, not like Odysseus and his men. And the men want to leave. And Odysseus says, no, no, no. I want the host gift. And so as a result, here comes Polyphemus, puts that boulder in front of the entrance to the cave, has all of his sheep in. And does he give him a host gift? No, he eats the men. He starts eating the men. And he says, I don't abide by such rules. Why would I do that? And then he asks Odysseus his name, which a host is not supposed to do until the guest has been well fed and well rested. And we'll see when he gets to the Phaeacians that that's exactly what happens. That's how it's supposed to be in the land of the Phaeacians. So the Phaeacians are the epitome of Xenia. We all know this story. This is one, the Polyphemus story. This is one of the most widely known stories in Western literature. So we know that Odysseus goes in, they go in, Polyphemus, they get him drunk. They poke out his eye, etc. And then when Odysseus has figured out a way to get them out, they hold the men are under the rams. You know that story, and they're holding on to the fleece underneath. And Odysseus, of course, is under the largest ram. And we have one of the first moments of what we call dramatic tension in literature. Because and Homer's oral audience, and he would be orally talking, a bard would orally be saying this, that he stops right at that moment in the Odyssey, and Polyphemus feels around and is wondering about Odysseus, and the audience would be going, I wonder if he's going to get out of this, or if the Cyclops is going to really hurt him. And he gets up, of course. Now, here's where Odysseus gets a little crazy. They get out, they get into their ships, and Polyphemus is up on the cliff, and he's screaming and yelling and throwing boulders, and Odysseus' men are saying, come on, let's get out of here. You know, that's one of the most often used lines in all movies, all literature. Let's get out of here. It is. So next time I want you to notice that. But Polyphemus, he's throwing those, and Odysseus says, I am Odysseus, son of Laertes. And Polyphemus goes, oh, yeah, there was an Odysseus who was supposed to hurt me, poke out my eye. You know, he's a little intellectually Polyphemus. But Odysseus says something else, and that is, I don't care who your father is. I don't care if your father is Poseidon. Would you call that hubris? You will never get your eyesight back. You are scum. And, of course, Polyphemus is still throwing boulders. And if Odysseus wouldn't have done that, not only would we not have had a story, but he would have gotten home a lot sooner. So now Poseidon knows who Odysseus is. Okay. The next stop, so now we have another triad here. We have three again. We've got Aeolus, and he's god, as you know, of the winds. And he has a self-sufficient family. What is that? What do I mean by that? They're incestuous. Yeah, his daughters have married his sons. Brothers have married sisters. And so they're very self-sufficient. However, Aeolus is a good host, and he gives Odysseus, when they're ready to leave, the host gift. And we all know what that is. It's the bag that has all the wind in it. And, of course, we know the folktale motif, which is, don't open that bag. So we know it'll be opened at some point. And so they're able to sail all the way home to Ithaca. They are within sight of Ithaca. And just imagine, they've been gone 10 years. They can see, the men on the ships can see the laundry, the sheets drying in the wind, can see maybe one of their wives or a young woman who was an infant when she was born, and the father has never had a chance to see her grow. Just think how heartbreaking that is. And yet, Odysseus is in a dead-like sleep. And sleep is, there's the theme of sleep in the Odyssey is something that's very beautifully intertwined, different kinds. But this is not a good sleep. And what do his men start to do? They start to say, that Odysseus, I bet in that bag he has treasure that he's keeping for himself. Now, why would these men do that? Odysseus has been their leader for 10 years. It just might be because he deserves that. He may be that crafty. He may be that treacherous. Or it may be the greed of his men. But we, you know, Homer really puts a question in our mind. Why in the world would they do that? But they do. They open it. And they go all the way back to Aeolus. And now it's going to take a long time, 10 years to get home. What does Aeolus say? They say, please, could we have a host gift again? And he says, are you kidding? The gods aren't happy with you. I want nothing to do with you. So off they go. The next stop is the Lastragonians. And here, we see a young woman on the beach. And that's a motif that we've seen all semester. A young Kore, a young virgin, a Parthenos, is on the beach. And or you see a young woman at the well, or you see a young Kore in a meadow. And so that enticement is happening. What they can't see from where they're at is that she's a giant. But Odysseus is crafty, is smarter this time. Last time he went in himself. This time he said, you know, I think I'll send a band of men to take a look at what's going on. And so they do. And, of course, these are cannibals. These people are cannibals. Some of the men get eaten. They also are throwing rocks as they try to escape. And they do. They get away with a loss of some men. The most developed section in this particular triad is the story about Circe. Now, Circe is a witch. She is, she and Medea are related. She's a sorceress. She is what we would call the castrating female. She's the one, the whole, the Odyssey if we just take a look at the women, would offer up another long discussion that I wish we had time for. But Circe, what does she do to men? She turns them into pigs, at least Odysseus's men. There are a lot of animals there. So probably a lot of men have come by, and she's turned them into different animals. And once again, Odysseus says, our crafty Odysseus says, why don't you all go, this band of men, and come back and let us know how it looks? And only one man returns and says she turned everybody into pigs, into swine, the animal nature of man, this woman. And so here comes Hermes. And I'm not even going to talk about how Athena's helping him. But here comes Hermes to Odysseus and says, gives him that potion. If you drink this moly, holy moly, okay? If you drink this moly, you will not be affected by Circe's magic. But be sure that you do certain things. Don't sleep with her until, because she'll want to kill you, until you make sure that your men have been turned back, your men who are now swine have been turned back into men. And so he goes, he drinks, he's not turned, yeah.
Does that kind of coincide with the animal nature?
Yes, yes. Perfect example of the animal nature of humans would be this, the whole idea episode with Circe of turning the men into swine. So Odysseus goes, he takes a drink of Circe's wine, he's not turned into a pig, she suddenly realizes the prophecy, oh, there will be a man who will not be transformed into a pig, his name will be Odysseus, intellectually challenged again. Okay, oh, by the way, that's that prophecy. And so she says, come sleep with me. And he, of course, remembers what Hermes has told him and asks to have his men turned back. He doesn't ask to have the other men in the area turned back, just his men. Okay? And then he does something that I find just awful. He falls in love with her. This is really the only time he's unfaithful to his wife, his waiting wife, Penelope. After a year, it's his men who say, we need to get out of here. And it's Hermes who goes to Circe and says, you have to let him go. And Circe says, okay, but what I'll do is tell him how to navigate the passages that he'll have to go through. So he's going to go to, he has to go to the underworld. And he has to see our prophet that we know about, Tiresias. And you know those stories. He runs into his friend, Elpenor, who has recently died. They were having a party one night at Circe's, and Elpenor went to bed up on the roof and forgot he was up there and fell off and broke his neck. And they were so anxious to get away from Circe's island that they didn't bury him properly. So Odysseus is going to have to go back and bury his friend Elpenor. He sees his mother. Anticlea finds out some of the things that are going on in Ithaca. He sees Achilles. He sees Ajax. You remember all those stories. And so he goes just to the passage of the underworld, the entrance, and he finds out from Tiresias how to get home. Circe has told him that if he wants to listen to the sirens, and, oh, brother, where art thou? They call them the sirens. Okay. If he wants to listen to the sirens whose beautiful song kills men as they are dashed against the rocks, this is another feminine symbol of the beauty of the luring temptation of the feminine, that if he wants to hear it, he needs to be tied to a mast, his men need to have wax put in their ears, and he needs to tell his men that no matter how much he begs, they will not untie him. And so when they get to this place, Odysseus says, he doesn't say, Circe told me I could. He says, Circe told me I had to. So he shifts the truth, oh, so subtly, just like Odysseus does, okay? And he does. He does get to hear the sirens, and he does survive, and he does beg to be let go, because the song is so beautiful that the longing to go to the source of that song is undeniable. Circe's also told Odysseus how to navigate between Scylla and Charybdis. And Scylla's that monster with the dog heads. And if you get too close to her side of it, she's going to take some men from the ships and eat them. And Charybdis is the whirlpool that will suck you under. And she says, she tells him exactly how to navigate this with losing the least amount of men. And Odysseus doesn't quite follow her advice. He takes a route that takes just a few more men than would have been necessary because it's the safer route for him. All right? And they do navigate between Scylla and Charybdis. They land on the island of the sun, Helios, and there's a prohibition. Do not eat the cattle. Do not eat the sun god's cattle. Respect the gods. And we have them stuck here for about a month. They can't get off the island because there's no wind, there's no fresh water now, it's not raining, there's cattle, but they can't eat it, they can fish, but the men feel the fish is not really food, and they're starving. And Odysseus, once again, conveniently falls asleep. Supposedly, he takes a walk and is going off to pray to the gods and falls asleep. And when he comes back, lo and behold, they've eaten the cattle. And so he's, you know, he could be sanctimonious. He can say, I told you not to eat the cattle. But the fact remains, he left at just the right time. And then they take off. And now, so it's going to kind of, it goes back this way. Now, all the men are gone. They're sucked into the whirlpool. Helios complains to Zeus, and the man who ate the cattle, that was everyone except Odysseus, who ate the sun god's cattle, are dead. And Odysseus comes up out of water with just the mast of the ship, and he lands on the island of Calypso. And he is there for a long time, 7 years. He's pining for Ithaca, for Penelope. Calypso loves him. She offers him immortality. And he does a wonderful rhetorical speech to her about how beautiful she is and putting his wife down in a way that would not upset Calypso, but I want to go home. And finally, Hermes comes and says, you've got to let him go. And so Odysseus says, I'm out of here, and builds himself a raft. And once again, he's in the water. And we've talked a lot about that symbol of water. He's in the water, and he's pretty much given up because he's sucked in again. There is nothing left. And he basically just gives up to Poseidon, even though he hasn't quite. And then we have Leucothea, the water nymph, who helps him out. He doesn't even want to listen to her. He's so disgusted with women at this point. And at any rate, she helps him, and he lands on the island. He washes up on the shore of the Phaeacians. And they are the epitome of Xenia, as I said before. He washes up on the shore. He is full of salt water, dirt, brine. He's disgusting. And he goes into the earth and builds himself a little nest, and he falls asleep and covers himself with leaves. We have a young woman once again on the beach. And Nausicaa is a Kore, a Parthenos. And Athena's told her to go to the beach with her girlfriends and do some laundry. And Odysseus comes out of this earth, and we have a creation myth of a new culture. He's literally born from the earth, washed by Nausicaa, and then taken to the home of her mother and father, where he is wined and dined, and no one asks him his name until he's ready. He has no money. They end up giving him all these treasures so that when he lands on Ithaca, he's a very rich man. And when they do take him to Ithaca, he falls asleep, but this time it's a magical sleep that is renewing and godlike. And when he wakes up in Ithaca, he's ready to kick some butt. Okay. He's going to wipe it out and start supposedly a new culture. So let's go back, and I'll quickly, but Richard Martin from Princeton University several years ago said that this really is a tale about the importance of Xenia and about the importance of moving from barbarism, a barbaric animal, human, to moving to civilization. So let's take a quick look at how that is. And there are many other ways to interpret this. So this is just one of many. The Sicanese, no more of this raping, pillaging, murdering, like they did in Troy. The Lotus Eaters, you can't get stoned. You can't live in the moment only and be totally passive. That is not where this culture is going. Polyphemus and the Cyclops, you must take advantage of the wonderful gifts the gods have given you. This rich earth, the possibilities of civilization that the Cyclops aren't doing. No more self-sufficient families. No more incest. No more cannibalism with the Lastragonians. Now, Circe, the animal nature of man, needs to be transformed. And to do that, she's the one who gives him the directions on how to get there. Once Odysseus has gone to the underworld and comes out, we have no longer what humans are not to be, but what they are to be. Listen to the sirens. but be mindful and conscious of the destruction that can occur when one gives oneself over to only one pleasure. But listen to the divine voice. Know how to navigate, to moderate your life between Scylla and Charybdis. Take that median way. Respect the gods. Don't eat the cattle of Helios. Respect the gods. And then once we have water and Odysseus alone, he is not ready to go home yet. He needs to assimilate all of these new changes that the new Greek culture will have. A different kind of hero, a different kind of emphasis, a much more civilized culture, and the emphasis on the culture is now about the arts, not about war. Samantha? And so he's telling the story to the Phaeacians. Odysseus is the bard. He is the magical person telling them this story. He's creating their reality through art, through storytelling, through narrative. And let me just see. So when he's on the island of Calypso, he needs to be isolated for quite a while so that this new culture can be birthed. And when he goes from here, from Calypso's island, to the Phaeacians, he washes up on the shore as the old culture that then gets rebirthed when Nausicaa is playing on the beach with her friends, playing ball and washing laundry. And that is the new culture with women, even though it doesn't change, and the feminine, both positive and negative. And he's going to go home to a wife who has been waiting for him for 20 years and holding the fort down. Any questions? That's just one of many interpretations of the Odyssey.